One afternoon in the video store, the clock rang out for lunch. The owner, Dave, craved Taco Bell and a cheesy gordita crunch. Meanwhile, load of the waste of Morton Hoof sat alone in his room. And Morton Hoof had Bell to sell, but he craved the power of cartoons. Dave and Hoof agreed to sell Bells for tunes and tunes for Bell. Saturday morning apocalypse. Saturday morning apocalypse.
Hello and welcome back to the second half of the Saturday Morning Apocalypse Godzilla Power Hour. I'm your host, David Snyder. I'm joined again by ruler of the wasteland and a generous contributor to the animated arts, Morton Hoof.
That's my Godzilla.
And this
roar.
Time we are talking... This time we are talking about Season 2's The City in the Clouds. And this is a little unique because, I think we said in the last episode, you managed to unearth these episodes. And what we're actually watching is like taped off of Cartoon Network. Sorry. Just another drunk Godzilla roaming around. What we're watching is a home video that somebody taped off of Cartoon Network back in the day, because evidently, in doing some research on the Chatterpedia, season 2 of Godzilla, the animated series, was never released on home video. So what we're watching is kind of like a relic of the past, man.
So not to brag, but, you know, as the ruler of the wasteland, I have some connections, right? So when I want to watch a cartoon... I put my feelers out there. I send my minions out there to go get this cartoon. I mean, you know, if blood has to be shed, so be it. What can we say? It's Wild Wild West out here now. So, but yeah, so this is a little bit of a unique episode that might be a little bit more difficult to acquire, but we got it. So we wanted to dive into season 2, see if it's any different or see if it's more of the same. So I thought it was cool to get best of both worlds. And yeah, and I'll just say this at the beginning, that I think that if out of the two episodes that we watched, if either of these movies were to be turned into a live action movie or a real movie, I think that this one provides a pretty good premise and has a bit of a similarity to some of the past real Godzilla films.
Well, I just want to mention something right away. Like, before we get into it, I want to apologize to the people that died bringing us this episode. I can only imagine the look of horror on the young peasant's face as a Morton Hoof's war rig blew through their town, their village, and as they were looking up into the eyes of their destructor and asking, why? And his response being, your Godzilla tapes. I just want to apologize to that young peasant villager who died so that we could have Godzilla cartoons.
I think that this shows you the lengths I'm willing to go for this show, Dave.
You wanted our Godzilla tapes, what? I can only imagine just the confusion right before that guy died.
Yeah, so if you got rare cartoons, watch out. Just send them our way now to
Yeah, full disclosure, you're not just like peacefully acquiring these tapes. You're just straight up murdering folks for these Godzilla tapes.
Negotiation, that's a thing of the past. Dave was just lucky because he had the Chad computer up and running to block me originally.
Well, that was before we reached our agreement and we got to know each other as people. But it's interesting it's fitting that we bring up theft, because this episode, The City in the Clouds, it makes me wonder. Again, I mentioned this in the last episode. I thought it was funny that one of the characters bore a striking resemblance to one George Lucas. And I have to wonder if Lucas was watching this around the time when Star Wars came out and was winning Oscars and all this other stuff. He happens to catch this Godzilla cartoon series and thinks to himself, yeah, that looks like me. Hey, wait a minute. The City in the Clouds. You know, I'm writing a script for The Empire Strikes Back, the next Star Wars movie. That's kind of an interesting concept.
We are connecting the dots.
Did George Lucas rip this show off the audacity of Lucas.
I think of it more as Lucas returning the favor.
Oh, they featured me in their little cartoon. Well, I'll feature them in my next movie.
Yeah, what's that?
Okay. Maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way. I'm sorry. I apologize for comparing George Lucas to, like, a brutal overlord who murders people for their cartoon tapes. Not that I'm referring to you. I'm strictly speaking in a hypothetical sense.
Naturally, I would hope.
But City in the Clouds, let's get into it. Hoof, why don't you explain the synopsis of City in the Clouds?
All right, so last episode we talked about the Energy Beast. And that one's a little bit more straightforward. This one isn't too complicated, but there's a little bit more variables going on. So the gang is in their boat, the Calico, doing their scientific research, and they happen upon a big storm. And they go to investigate the storm. They get sucked up into the storm, and they find a city in the clouds. Whoa, surprise! The city in the clouds. They meet the residents of this, or soon to be residents of this city, who happen to be from another universe, I guess. And they have
like an alternate universe, or something.
An alternate universe, and they have been chased by some kind of dragon. He looks like Charizard. So the Pokemon.
I think they just call him the Fire Dragon.
Yeah. So the Fire Dragon. And so they've been chased by.
Oh no! Excuse me. The Power Dragon.
The Power Dragon. We have the power.
The Power Dragon.
Maybe we can make this the He-Man or something like that. So yeah, they've been chased by this this Power Dragon, and they've come to Earth under the guise of being refugees, which is kind of, I have mixed feelings about that, but. But they, so they have, and they have some kind of headband that amplify, they're called a thought amplifier, I think it is. And it gives them the ability to make things happen by thinking it. And there's another, like the energy beast, there's a glow around their head when this activity takes place. And so the gang is initially like on board with them, but then in the span of maybe 30 seconds or something like that, it's revealed that they want to actually conquer the Earth with after they get rid of the Power Dragon. And so it's kind of them back and forth trying to escape the city in the clouds and counter these attackers, and also with the help of Godzilla counter the Power Dragon. And that's about it in terms of the surface level stuff. So why don't we get into it?
This is kind of the flip side. Like in the other episode, Godzilla was doing most of the work and the humans were just sort of figuring out what was happening. This one switches the dynamic, and it's like the humans doing the family doing most of the stuff in this episode. They're the ones who discover the I forget what they're called. We'll just call them. Oh, are they called cloud dwellers? Is that what they call themselves?
So. This one has definitely more of like a.
Yes, the cloud this one dwellers.
Has more of like a Johnny Quest vibe. It's more of adventure for the humans. But Godzilla happens to be there. But Godzilla still plays a pretty pivotal role. I mean, the fight between the dragon and Godzilla is pretty cool, I think. My favorite moment in this episode is that when they are approaching the storm and they realize that they can't escape the storm, they call for Godzilla with their nifty little gadget. Godzilla appears because, as we discussed last episode, he is their slave. And so he's just constantly swimming beneath their boat. But he shows up and... I love this. He tries to attack the storm. Like, he is slashing his claws at the storm. They specifically even say with exposition, oh, Godzilla's attacking the storm. So I love that part. I think that's cool. Like, that...
I was half expecting, because the way this cartoon series plays, like, I was half expecting Godzilla to dissipate the whirlpool by just slashing at it. Like, I straight up thought the whirlpool would disappear when he slashed at it.
Yeah, so so they get sucked up, and I don't know. I think that this episode is cool because if you've watched a lot of the older Godzilla films, there's a lot of aliens. And so... I think it's fair to say they're aliens. You know, they're from another alternate universe or alternate world or whatever. So And they have this plan where they initially come in peace, but it's revealed that they are not. So there's a couple of movies like that. There's a movie called Gorath, which is not a Godzilla film specifically, but it's an old monster film. And the monster, the aliens come in peace at first, but they turn out to be bad guys. So I saw some parallels, so I thought it was pretty cool.
It's like, yeah, it's interesting. This one takes us, I mean, usually the attitude that the aliens in the movies have towards Godzilla is we got to destroy Godzilla. Like, we got to get him out of the way. But in this one, it's interesting because they're like, oh, this Godzilla might be helpful. We might be able to use this thing. Like, it was a slightly different relationship between the bad guy aliens in this one and the way we see them in the movies. I mean, I that's not to say that this hasn't happened in the movies before. We mentioned on Destroy All Monsters that the aliens use the monsters on Earth to, like, destroy Earth and all that stuff. So it's basically the same thing. But I just thought it was interesting just the look on the guy's face, Deus. Was it Zaius?
Oh, Zaius with the Z.
Yes, it was Zaius, like straight up Dr. Zaius. What the fuck? Once again, just blatant, just IP theft all over the place. yeah, I thought it was interesting just the way that Zaius, when he sees Godzilla, the way the reaction on his face is like, oh, like, I like that moment. They're like, we could use this Godzilla. And it's also interesting, like, these cartoons, well, just cartoons in general, but especially from this era, they definitely don't bury the lead in terms of the allegiance of the quote unquote good guys that we see. They're like, you know, obviously they're presented as like you said, refugees in this episode, and like, oh, you know, we're supposed to like relate to them or not relate to them, but just like sympathize with them. But as they do in all these cartoons of the era, you know, they're evil right away.
Yeah.
Like, especially when Anthea, whatever her name is, starts talking, like, they always have to talk like this. Like, it's like they're always trying to like stifle laughter when they're talking. These characters. Like, excuse me.
Maybe you can also explain what's happened to our friends.
There are others? I'm afraid I don't know. The generator room. Anthea, see what's wrong. I'll stay here with our new friends.
So in this episode, when they get first up, sucked up into the storm, and they land on the clouds, it's kind of funny because they don't realize,
which is a crazy visual.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, they're like the bottom half of the screen is all cloudy and stuff like that, but they don't realize they're on clouds at first. Godzuki falls through a hole, and he is falling, and I'm like, well, he can fly. And then the characters say, use your wings, and then he starts flying. So this is kind of funny. But one of the funny things about this episode is what I'm going to call the irresponsibility of the adults. As they're walking, it just cuts scenes, and Pete and Godzuki are gone. And
oh yeah, I had the same thought.
And the adults, Quinn and I never remember the guy's name, the father figure. He's just like,
George Lucas.
It's not Godzuki and Pete. It's Pete and Brock. So there's a research assistant named Brock. And so Pete and Brock like get separated somehow. It's immediate. There's a split second. They're gone.
We don't know why or don't know how. It just happens.
I mean, it's cloudy, I guess. There's a bunch of mist, so they got lost or whatever. Yeah, but but immediately the grown-ups say, Godzuki, go find him. So it's like, I mean, if I'm an adult and I'm responsible for kids, I'm going to take...
They don't care.
I feel like it's my responsibility to go find them. But no, I guess
exactly,
trust Godzuki. I mean, he seems so dependable.
Send our slave lizard to go fetch the boy. That reminds me, like, real quick, I want to address that. What is the relationship with these... What's the character, the relationship dynamic between these people and Godzuki? They literally have him polishing the ship's railing in the beginning of the episode. Is he just their indentured servant? Like, what the fuck is he to these people?
I think the premise is that Pete and Godzuki are best friends. But it does...
I don't have my best friend's polished railing, Hoof.
Well, it's... As a kid, you do chores, right? So...
The kid wasn't doing any chores. He was having his lizard friend
do
it for him.
Brushing, polishing the rail too. Yeah.
Was he? Yeah, I thought he was just supervising.
Pete is polishing the rail, and then it cuts to Godzuki polishing the rail, and there's a big dent. And Pete is like, you're supposed to polish it, not rearrange it.
Which, that gets into another interesting aspect. So what's exactly the relationship between the Pete kid and these parents? Because they don't really seem to care about him too much. It's like, Godzuki, you find him. When they lose him, it's like, they have him polishing the railing? Like, what the fuck kind of chore is that? Why is he even with them on this thing? Like, this kid, realistically, should be in some, like, charter school back on the mainland or something.
Let's check the facts. So we'll establish the relationship between all these characters. So the Calico, the big ship that they're all on, they're always doing research on. The male character, his name is Captain Carl Majors. And then there's a scientist, the female character, Dr. Quinn Darien. So they're not even married or anything. Well, at least I presume, because they don't have the same last name. Pete is the female's nephew. And Brock...
What is it with nephews in this series? What the hell is happening?
I don't know why you're making such a big deal about nephews. It's not crazy.
It seems like a weird kink to throw in. I mean, I don't know. Just have it be simpler. Have it be a family.
Yeah. So that's all the relationships. There is one thing I want to back up real quick. I don't know why, but this line was by the female, Dr. Quinn. It was really striking. They're approaching the storm, and I think at first they're like, well, let's just avoid it. But Dr. Quinn wants to explore it for research purposes. And she specifically says they name big storms after men. I was just like, that made me laugh, and it's kind of striking. I feel like it was a little bit of an underhanded, a backhanded compliment or something like that. Like, or some kind. It's significant. It means something. But I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, when they get separated, it turns out that Pete has wandered into this laboratory, or there's these generators or something like that. And there's this fan, I guess. And we get this Charlie and the Chocolate Factory moment where Pete is
straight up, yeah,
getting sucked up, and Brock can't rescue him. And then Godzuki appears, and then Godzuki has to rescue him. But I thought it was pretty cool. It was like we got this Charlie and the Chocolate Factory moment.
And what's even funnier about this moment, like once the adults find the cloud dwellers, they find Pete in his Charlie and the Chocolate Factory moment where he's getting sucked up a tube or something. And what I love about this, like, Anthea just walks up, flips the switch, and then, like, he just falls down.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, like, what's the function of that little suck-uppy tube? It's just to have air being sucked up at that place? I don't understand.
The mechanics of the cloud, people. It's mystery science, Dave. You'll never understand.
Anyway, yeah, we find out, like, so the power dragon comes again when the cloud dwellers reveal themselves. And this is when, and what I love about this moment, so earlier in the episode when the whirlpool comes and sucks them up, like, they try, after they've been, like, washed aground, ashore, so to speak, on the clouds, the top of the clouds, the ship's, like, grounded or whatever, they try calling Godzilla, but they make a point of saying, oh, our fucking switch isn't working, the electromagnetic pulse or whatever, like, scrambled all of our circuits, whatever. So at that point in the episode, they cannot call Godzilla. They require Godzuki to go to try to call Godzilla. But you know, it's a funny cutaway moment in the episode. Like, she says, like, I'm sure Godzilla's not in any trouble. It cuts to Godzilla in the whirlpool going, ah! And where he remains for a good chunk of this episode, just like in the whirlpool going, ah!
Maybe he's in some sort of trouble.
Godzilla? I doubt it, Pete. Come on. We'll find him.
Constantly suspended animated in this whirlpool, just flailing.
Just twirling around, like floating in this... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, evidently Pete was not the only one that got caught up in a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory type incident.
I didn't even think about that. But yeah.
what's But it's funny because so they specifically address that they can't call Godzilla with their little signal device. Yet, later in the episode, when the power dragon comes back, the guy's like, oh, well, no problem. I'll just call Godzilla. He pulls out the signal thing, and all of a sudden it's working. It's like only 10 minutes have passed since you said it was destroyed. Oh, like, God. What the fuck?
I wrote the same exact thing. It's just like, oh, it doesn't work. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, it's like, oh, I'll just call him.
I'll call him, yeah. It's like, was something cut? It's like, I kind of doubt it. I honestly felt that, and I think we've addressed this in G.I. Joe, like, I literally think it's just like, they probably don't have a lot of time to animate these episodes. They're always probably under the wire. And I'm sure it's also a little bit of like, eh, the kids won't notice. You know what I mean? It's just, I guarantee you that's what it was. It's like, eh, fuck it. The kids won't notice.
Speaking of like instantaneous inconsistencies or plot twists or something like that, one of my favorite moments in this episode is that so when the cloud people turn on the humans and they reveal that they want to control Godzilla, they specifically identify the switch and like, oh, give us the switch or whatever. And so the captain, what's his name, Captain Majors, he tells
Captain
them,
Lucas,
yeah, Captain George Lucas, he tells them, you'll never conquer me. And then something happens where like the ground starts crumbling. He's like, all right, you win. It happens within
seconds.
It was
instant. You'll never break me, Dr. Seuss. Oh, wait. Okay, never mind. Here it is.
He's so funny. He's just like, you'll never conquer me. It's, 1 second passes. Oh, you got me.
He's got us trapped.
You'll never get me to bend your will, Zeus.
Maybe this will change your mind. Dr. Darian!
All right, Zeus. You win. Here's the signal.
The same thing, the same sort of thing happens later. Like these people, like just like when they call Godzilla to help them fight the power dragon, Pete says, where's Godzilla? And it's like, they just called him. Like, there's like 2 seconds that go by between when they call him for help and when he goes, Godzilla, where are you? Where's Godzilla? It's like, give him a fucking minute, kid.
See, I think that this supports your theory that Godzilla is their slave because
yes!
They just are
chop,
merciless.
Chop, lizard.
Yeah, exactly. They are merciless in their demands of this of this giant creature. Just like, you know, they rang their bell, come calling, and then, where are you? You're not here. So it's like, even Pete, the kid, has picked up these tendencies to demand of the giant lizard.
And it's fucked up, man. And I think that's why I hate this family so much.
Yeah,
especially Pete.
There's another moment in this episode that's pretty funny. After the family gets captured, I think everyone except Pete gets captured. So they're all hanging out in this jail cell or whatever. And apparently there's just a hole in the roof.
It might as well have just gone like, oh, wait, they didn't lock the door. Let's go.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just like...
So there's a hole in the roof. I don't know. Maybe it's a skylight, whatever. But so Pete and Godzuki appear. They look up and they're like, oh, it's Godzuki or it's Pete. And then so they come down and they're like, Pete is like, oh, I went back to the ship and I grabbed this rope for us. But it's like, Godzuki can fly this distance. So
yeah, I
why
know.
Do they need a rope? I mean, it's totally, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it's just,
well, speaking
bonkers.
Of not making sense, like, I didn't get, they didn't, we don't see them making a plan. Like, at this moment, the family's escaped their little cell, so their little makeshift cell, and I don't get what their plan is. Is their plan just to, like, all right, we'll just, like, run up towards them and steal their little device and then run away? It's like, is that all it is? Because I don't remember a plan being devised. They just, like, charge them and just try to, like, steal his little thought amplifier. That's all that happens.
Yeah, there's no... They could have showed him huddle, do a quick huddle or something like that.
Something, okay, we'll go but here, it's, go no, here, it's just...
But no, nothing like that.
They all just seem to understand, rush him! Rush Dr. Seuss! That's all that happens.
It is kind of funny, looking back on the episode, the amount of times that people are separated in different spots. It's almost like they're just playing a bunch of hide-and-seek throughout the episode.
Yes.
Like,
it was
oh,
a little Scooby-Doo-esque.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But yeah, I mean, I think, and then at the end, so this is one other thing that's kind of weird. They have a portal, I guess. The cloud people have a portal that lets things come from their universe to our universe, and it gets ruined. And then they get the thought amplifier. It's like this little halo headband or whatever, and they put it on their head, and then they reactivate it. So it's almost like, I don't know, what's the point of having this portal to begin with or something?
Yeah,
like
I know.
That? Or how does it work? I don't know. Again, the logistics are not explained. But yeah, so they are able to retrieve Godzilla because he gets sucked into the universe. I don't know. This episode is really messy for sure, but I do get a kick out of it.
Well, like, how does Godzilla, I can't remember, how does he even dispatch the Power Dragon? He, like, backs him in and tosses him into the whirlpool, right? And somehow he, like, disappears.
Yeah, he gets sent back. Again, he gets sent back to, like, the, I don't know, the other universe somehow. But they're fighting. I did like this moment. So we were speaking of lack of strategy, that there was this moment of strategy where Godzilla is specifically, like, luring the dragon to the edge so he can sumo wrestle him off of it.
You literally see his arms make a motion like, come on, back it up. Come on.
So really, I think the takeaway from this episode is Godzilla is smarter than the humans.
Absolutely, yes. Oh, man. But yeah, it's and what I love about this episode, it kind of ends in a, like, it seems like almost all cartoons of any era end in this way that are aimed for a specific audience where it ends with, like, a character doing, like, a stupid thing. Like, it has to end on, like, a moment of levity. And I think it's this one when Godzuki, you see him, like, water skiing or something? Or is that the previous episode?
Yeah, there's an episode. There's a moment where Godzuki, in the beginning, they're in the water and they're like, oh, it's dirty, but it's actually silt, and he's fishing.
And, oh, okay, that's the previous.
Yeah,
episode.
And then at the end of the episode, he's hanging out on these inner tubes, and it's like, oh, but this episode does have another moment of levity and goofy, and I got a kick out of this moment. So when they all escape, the thought amplifier comes with them back to their ship and in the water.
Yes, this
and
is it.
Godzuki sits on the thought amplifier, this world-changing device, and he breaks it. And then it just shows, the episode ends with him, like, it's all bent out of shape or whatever, and he's just, like, looking through it. It's pretty funny.
Those big generators must have held the storm together. Once Godzilla got the Power Dragon into the eye of the storm, the whole thing just sort of shorted out.
And without the thought amplifier, they can't ever get back to try again.
Where is it anyway? I wonder if it can work down here, too. Godzuki!
I guess we'll never know.
Well, like, yeah, so it gets, it, like, so this one does end on a similar moment as the previous episode, which I forgot to mention last time, is that it ends on, like, a goofy moment of everyone, like, standing in a circle and laughing, like, you know, it's like, I love that, trope of cartoons, is that every episode has to end with all the main characters back together, they've gotten through their adventure, and it's just ending with them laughing in a circle and patting each other on the back.
Yeah, that happens all the time in Thundercats. Like, the episode just ends after they learn their lesson, and they all just, yes, like, ha, 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 ha. It's so funny.
Well, it's like, I it's just a perfect bow moment to every little self-contained adventure. It's like, we're all going to just have a laugh about what just happened. I love that shit. It's one of my favorite cartoon tropes. But anywho, that's about it for Godzilla. I mean, I don't really have much else to say. Like, these two episodes, I think, give me a sense of what this series was all about. There was only two seasons. Who knows? Maybe if we can unearth more of these tapes, if we go back to the burnt out village you stole these from, mercilessly, I might add.
Were you there, Dave? Do you know how things happen? No, you don't.
It's like, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if there was anything else to this series. If there was, like, a very special episode moment, or if the series got real at any point, you know what I mean? If it actually lived up to the title sequence of Godzilla written in flames and shit like that. Like, but that being said, I kind of get the sense that that probably doesn't happen. I imagine the two adventures we saw are probably pretty par for the course for this series, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, so we've talked about kind of the stuff that's wild and out there, and I'm guessing that this show doesn't really push the boundaries. It does seem like
it's get that sense, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we covered the Wuzzles, and we got a really crazy episode in the Wuzzles and stuff like that. We got an episode with a giant parrot gets blown up, and there's a giant kaiju parrot in G.I. Joe and stuff like that. So we've had some wild episodes in the past, and I mean, I did get a kick out of some of the stuff, but I mean, giant monsters are par for the course for Godzilla, so it's not that crazy. So I think that this show is probably more standard. So I mean, the show is interesting in the sense that it is Godzilla. We get giant monsters. That's always fun. I do like the idea of these cloud people. Like, I think that, like I said, I think that this episode, if I were to turn either of the episodes that we watched into full length movies, I think that this movie or this episode would make the best candidate. But yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot more to say about the show or this episode.
That's one thing before we take off this time. That's one thing I just want to stress. I don't know if we really stressed this point enough in this episode, that the entire duration of the episode, they are on top of clouds, like solid clouds. I don't know if we really stressed that point home, but when they get sucked up, they are walking on top of solid clouds. I don't know if we really stressed that point to the listeners or not.
I just chalked that up to these cloud people's technology. It seemed like when their technology was going and when they were able to, because there's a whole city up there, and it's just like the city didn't. I don't know if they built
it. But it seems like it's like housed on top of the clouds. Yeah. Like, it's not like Cloud City in The Empire Strikes Back, where it's like you happen to have like this floating giant complex, like with, you know, within the clouds. They're not supported by the clouds, but in this one they seem to be.
Yeah, so it's
and which is really unusual.
Something's going on with the clouds, I'm not sure, and more cloud people magic, I guess.
I guess just the thought amplifiers, like, we're just gonna chill on some clouds, man.
Yeah, as you do, you know, Mario clouds.
As you do. But we're gonna go, that's gonna do it for the Saturday Morning Apocalypse Godzilla Power Hour. We're gonna go chill in some clouds ourselves. But I honestly, I don't think this is a series that I have any real inclination to go back to. Like you said, I think we pretty much got what this series was about with these two episodes. They were fun enough, but it's not something I have a real, it's not something that I really feel compelled to watch again. Unlike G.I. Joe, that just like sucked me in from the theme song and the explosions and the lathers. Like, G.I. Joe is something that we need to revisit on this show. But I don't know about you, Hoof, but as far as I'm concerned, I think we've pretty much, like, we're good with Godzilla the animated series.
Yeah, at least this one. I mean, there's another Godzilla animated series we can discuss at another time, possibly.
Based on a really bad 1998 American remake.
So we'll see. I mean, maybe that incarnation made the best of a bad situation.
Possibly, yeah. Who knows? I vaguely remember it. I mean, if it's big enough to have like a Game Boy Advance tie-in game, then you know it's big.
I mean, that was an interesting time in cartoons. Like, that was, I think it was from like Kids WB was the one who was launching that, and they were the ones who were doing like the Men in Black cartoon and stuff like that. So
maybe that's right. Yeah. There. Well, this will be the end. I think this will be the end of the Godzilla Hanna-Barbera series for us on this show, but not necessarily the end of Godzilla in animated form. Like you said, we might touch on his 90s adventures.
Unless, listeners out there in the wasteland, you are familiar with this show, season one, season two, doesn't matter, we have it all. If you know of an episode that you think can make a compelling case for this series, we would be happy to watch it. We have it all. We have the tapes. I killed people for it. I mean, no, I didn't.
Absolutely. Like, if ever anyone listening out there, if ever you guys have a suggestion for a cartoon you'd like us to watch or a movie on our regular show, let us know. Hit us up on Instagram, Apocalypse Video. You can also hit us up on Facebook, or you can shoot us an email. Our email is still active at apocalypsevideopod@gmail.com. But that's going to do it for the Saturday Morning Apocalypse Godzilla Power Hour. I'm your host, Dave, and I'd just like to finish by saying...
And to that, I'd like to respond...
Hey, Hey, Godzilla, get your ass back here. You're needed on the ship.
Polish those rails.
Godzilla's loose. Ah! He's gonna eat these commercials. The humanity of it all. Calm him, Cartoon Network. Soothe the beast.